Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning. Rise and shine. You're all with the Zoo Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was Wow Wednesday, and we got our morning started with our girl Vivian and her socially conscious segment. And what did Vivian talk about yesterday? Well, we heard from Vivian about the minimum wage increase. Yes, it's been quite some talk since we've had a minimum wage increase, and 27 states will be able to see an increase as of 2023. Some states a little earlier than others. So Washington will be able to get an increase to $16.10. Now that may not seem like a lot of money, but it is an increase nonetheless. What about California going to $15, and New Jersey as well as New York will also get increases. So we're hoping that these couple of pennies will make a difference in people's lives. All right. Well, two of Vivian's big stories was the family court law is now going to change as evaluators will have to get some new training after one evaluator let Kyra, who was two years old, he let her down, and unfortunately, her dad not only killed her, but then killed himself as they were going back and forth to family court regarding a custody battle. And he felt that, you know, fathers should have a role. If we want to say that, it's important for dads to have a role in the child's life. And he was given the child, and that's when he shot his daughter and killed himself. You know, we actually had a big conversation about that over here on his due time. And we talked about, you know, when these evaluators and arbitrators and judges and things like that, when they make these decisions based on their own personal experience, and needless to say, you know, this is probably one decision that was made just like that. Yeah, you know, he probably had some experience with family court and it didn't go as well as he would have liked it to go, and You know, he decided to give this dad another chance despite, here's the thing, you know, we're not talking about just giving a dad an opportunity. This situation was unique in the fact that, you know, he had threatened mom, had been abusive to mom, quite a bit of information regarding domestic abuse and violence, and by no means should he have been given this child. You know, we talked about the fact that, you know, you want to, you know, just kind of gauge the way the dad treats the mom as to, well, maybe the children might endure the same level of abuse. And some might say, no, it's separate. And, you know, just because him and the mom don't get along doesn't mean that him and the child, you know, would have problems. And you're right. You're right. There may be times when the two are separate and apart. However, one of the things that did come up yesterday is, you know, if a man is abusing his ex, do you really want to put the child in his possession? You know, although he may have never, you know, abused that child or, you know, hit the child, or the child may have experienced some ill treatment, but the mentality of the fact that he has abused the mother, I wouldn't want to put my child in that person's hands. So, you know, sometimes we got to think a little bit, you know, extensively, and, you know, stop wearing our feelings on our shoulders and deal with that. And the fact is that if the mom was possibly, you know, unsafe around this man, that maybe the child was too, and unfortunately, this is an opportunity or a time when it was. And little Kyra suffered because she had to deal with the abuse that her father had in him. He shot her. 2 years old, he shot her, and then he shot himself. So, that's it. Don't even try to talk about the fact that the two are separate. Nah. Mentally, there's a connection. And if he could not take it out on mom, then he took it out on the child. All right? So, that was one of the conversations that ensued from Vivian's socially conscious story. Well, one of the other conversations that Vivian brought, or news that Vivian brought us, was Hannah, who is 27 years old, and she was admitted under emergency care after being pregnant for 20 weeks. And next day, she was told that her baby was dead. After, I guess, they monitored and took some tests and did some things like that. And thank God that Hannah pushed to insist that, you know, there were more tests taken, or take those tests again, and only to find out that her baby was alive, who was then born 3 weeks later and is doing well. So that took on its own conversation, and you need to go back and listen to that conversation because it was quite interesting and comical, as Shanti, you know, shared her experience, you know, with sometimes medical advice and treatment just doesn't work. And, you know, we talked about speaking up for yourself and just being careful as to, you know, how you take the advice of the medical practitioners, because, hey, they don't know everything. They're not always right. And I know people who put their trust wholeheartedly into their doctor, and they don't trust the Lord as much as they trust the doctor. Now, Dr. Satterfield has all of my votes and all of my confidence, but I let Dr. Satterfield know that he comes second to the Lord, that if it wasn't for the Lord, his little hands and brain wouldn't mean a thing. But there are some people who don't share that feeling. And, yeah, it's quite different. So we want to give God thanks that Hannah, you know, did trust her instinct and that her and baby are fine. So go back and listen to yesterday's conversation. I'm sure it will be some kind of treat for you. Okay? Well, today is Therapeutic Thursday. Yes, today we discuss our health, whether it's our physical health, mental, emotional, spiritual, financial, any other health we got going on. It's time to talk about it. Now, this morning I have an extensive, medical, you know how we get our Thursdays started. I have an extensive piece of information, so you may want to go get those pens and those pads so you can get to writing. Don't say I didn't warn you. And so I'm going to give you a chance to go do that. And I'm going to give you a chance to go get that healthy breakfast. Go tell somebody that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. And don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Epilepsy can affect anyone with a brain. It does not discriminate.
It does not care about
your race, your gender,
your age, your religion.
1 in 10 people will have a seizure in their lifetime.
1 in 26 people will develop epilepsy.
If you have a brain,
you can get epilepsy.
Period.
But here's something that's just as important to know.
Anyone with a brain can affect epilepsy.
So let's use our brains to do just that.
Let's change the way people think about epilepsy.
The way they think about seizures.
To fund more support and care for people with epilepsy.
To know basic seizure first aid.
And save more lives.
To do more innovative brain research.
To create a society where those who live with epilepsy,
like me,
can be open about it.
To find cures.
To find cures.
To find cures.
Because if all of us can get epilepsy,
all of us can end epilepsy.
We just need to use our brains.
I'm using my brain to end epilepsy.
By creating awareness.
By advocating for my son and for myself.
By taking care of my child.
We're Scarlett and Jasper.
Let's use our brains.
Let's use our brains.
Let's use our brains to end epilepsy.
Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and it is Therapeutic Thursday. Yeah, today we talk about our health, and giving God thanks that he has ushered us into this side of the week without any hurt, harm, or danger befalling us. And we got some stuff to talk about today. So like I said a little while ago, we have an extensive piece of information that I want to give you today. And a lot of us are dealing with being ill. And I wanted to take this morning to go over some of the symptoms, all right? All right. Well, they say flu RSV, strep A, and COVID. Yes, COVID is still in the game. They're spreading at alarming rates here in the United States. And as Vivian told us last week, we have run out of medicine, you know, or at least at that time, we had run out of medicine for our children. And I told you that I saw on somebody's shelf, they had a picture, $200 in change for a bottle of children's Tylenol. So, you know, we know that it's pretty bad out here. And the doctors are saying that they have always been fearing that these viruses were going to come back, but they didn't anticipate that they would come back as fast and they would be as furious as they are. So they say that, you know, we recognize that the health of our immune system is strictly tied to how we age. And I thought that was quite interesting. And they're saying that the two reasons why, they say our immune system function weakens as we age, as we get older. Our bone marrow loses its ability to produce T and B cells, which are the key components of the immune system that orchestrates responses. They say not only does our immune system become weaker as we get older, but it also becomes more dysfunctional. They say specifically, the immune system will begin to activate itself when it shouldn't, damaging healthy tissue in the process. And they say that everyone needs to know that masking really does protect individuals against all three viruses. And you know how we are. You know, people ain't, you know, once we got out of having to wear the mask, they're not, they're not trying to go back. And they want us to know what some of the symptoms are, because people are getting this stuff mixed up, and some of the symptoms kind of cross over. Some of the symptoms are kind of in its own pocket, so that you know this is what we're going to talk about this morning. So we're going to talk about number one, strep A. Everybody knows that as strep throat. So it's a very painful sore throat. Had that experience as an adult here recently for the first time. It's very, 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 very painful. And they say the presence of a cough makes strep throat very unlikely. They say, but, you know, don't hesitate to have your child looked at by the doctor if you think that strep throat is suspected. All the symptoms of strep A or strep throat include fever, rash, pain, swelling, nausea, and vomiting. Okay, now check this out. They say, some doctors say, that the 2 years of lockdowns have exacerbated the situation. So they say we disrupted our virus transmission. This is from a pediatric infectious specialist. And they say we did not have the normal circulation where you would expect RSV and pneumonia in young people. And a lot of what we did with social distancing and masks caused this. And some children are presenting bizarre symptoms, such as lumps behind their ears and eye tissues and drooling. And they're saying it could be we have altered patterns of immunity due to the pandemic that may have increased our vulnerability. Okay. They said, but it could also be the different variants of strep throat, and it could be a combination of factors. So that's what the experts are saying about strep throat, strep A. All right. RSV. Okay. Now they're saying cough. They tend to be more prominent and pronounced with RSV. And they say RSV is very commonly acquired in households with small children. So if you have small children, this may be very likely. They're saying that RSV does not have a vaccine, but they're working on, you know, some clinical trials. And that virus is interesting because they didn't think it was going to be a big problem, because most people got it when they were young and we thought they were protected during our lifetime. So this is something that, you know, they will call it something else, clearly, because we ain't never heard of no RSV. We never have been vaccinated for RSV. And they're saying that there are different strains of it. And as you get older, you become vulnerable again to it. So again, this RSV is something that we never, you know, we never knew of. But we had. Okie dokie. Number three, what are they saying about the flu? So they say fever and muscle aches tend to be the most prominent symptoms of flu influenza. And they are advising people not to mix in large groups if they feel sick. Okay. They say both COVID-19 and flu can cause severe illness or even death for those most vulnerable in our communities. And it's important that you avoid contact with other people if you're unwell in order to stop infection. And make sure you mask up, okay? We're still talking about masking up, okay? So people have been asking, when is flu season over? They say the optimistic view is that we had an early severe season, and hopefully over the next couple of weeks, the numbers will start to go down. So an infectious disease physician and expert say that we might just be in the beginning of this thing, and we may have a couple of new waves of this. So, wow. So that's why we need to mask up, because if we're going to have waves of this thing, that means it's going to get better, and then it's going to get worse, and then it's going to get better. And how do you know what part of the wave we're in? So put your masks on if we're in, you know, a space with a lot of people, if we are in close quarters, closed quarters, I should say. So just protect yourself, okay? All right. Well, they want to talk to us about the common cold. And they're saying, let's not forget about that. You know, in the midst of all these viruses that are circulating, the common cold does still exist. And they say nasal congestion as a dominant symptom suggests a routine cold. Does it feel like some of the other, you know, viruses that we've spoken about? Yes, sometimes it does. They say our immune systems are still working just fine in most cases with a common cold. And as we, you know, kind of get back into a level of normalcy, after saying all of that, now all the viruses are starting to come back in and disrupt, you know, even the normal common cold. So in other words, you know, when we used to just get the common cold, now we are susceptible to getting all of these other viruses. All right, so they're saying that make sure you take care of yourself, get that cold and flu medicine in your system nice and early so that, you know, you can stay well. All right. COVID-19. Yes, it still is rearing its ugly head. And the thing about COVID is it's taking a surge in China. Now, I don't know if you're reading the news, but yes, they are getting smashed in China with COVID. There's been an increase in deaths, and they have some new variants that they're looking at. And remember, people from China are still traveling here, and people from here are still going to China. And they say that is going to increase the risk of becoming infected, and don't underestimate the fact that you can still get COVID. They're saying that here in the U.S., we're having a senior wave of COVID, okay? And, you know, we have always had to watch out for our elderly when it comes to this COVID, because it has been more deadly for them than for those of us who are younger. But also, please do not forget that those of us with, you know, conditions and health issues and, you know, things like that, that we are also very susceptible to getting COVID. And when we get COVID, it's a much dangerous situation. Also, don't forget that, you know, a lot of times COVID affects our bodies in many ways that we would not know, damaging our bodies, and it now has a long-term effect on us. So, you know, some of us have been, you know, very blessed to just be able to get, you know, the virus and, you know, in, you know, our little 14 days or whatever, it's over. But everybody that blessed and that, you know, that having that experience, and, you know, some people have had residual health issues that they can see, and others have been a bit delayed. So, you know, again, be very careful. Keep those hands washed, because, again, all of this stuff looks like one and the same. So make sure you take care of your body, okay? And last, but not least, they want to remind us that if we are ill, to still follow the proper protocol. Mask up. If you are feeling ill, don't travel. Don't go around other people. You know, stay home if you are feeling ill. Please stay home so that you do not infect other people. Now, that's regardless of what you may have. Okay? So that's our health tip for today. I told you it was going to be quite extensive. And you may have to, you know, go back and listen to get all the little tidbits that the experts gave us. So, you know, you're not Superman. You know, he even had his kryptonite. So let's make sure we take care of ourselves, okay? All right. So what are we talking about today? Now, I'm I've got some stories, you know, and things to talk about it. You know, I don't know what our major conversation is going to be about this morning. But let's see what we got to talk about. Where do I even start? I only got like three stories. Okay, so, you know, Vivian talked to us yesterday about, you know, how in Buffalo there have been quite a few deaths because of the storm. And I came across one particular story of a 22-year-old woman who had moved here, Buffalo, what is going on here, had moved to Buffalo from North Carolina. And she, Andell Taylor, was on her way home from her job as an assistant at a nursing home on the 23rd of December when a car got stuck in the snow. So she did call 911 for help, but she had no other choice but to kind of wait in her car. And she told her mom that she was just going to wait in the car until someone came for help, and she would just keep the car running. Well, Taylor's family called 911 several times also to, you know, help get her some help. And they even, you know, had video of her vehicle stuck in the snow. And last heard from her around midnight on the 24th, okay? And she said she was going to go to sleep and walk to safety in the morning. Well, unfortunately, she didn't make it. By the time they found her vehicle, around 9 o'clock on the 25th, she wasn't alive anymore. She was found dead, lying in, like, the reclined position in the driver's seat. And her family, needless to say, is distraught. And they are quite blaming the responders, the first responders, for not getting to, you know, their sister and family quick enough. They say for 2 days. And one of the sisters says, hey, I don't even understand what they're there for. I don't feel like they even tried. Or if they did, they didn't try hard enough. And I don't know. You know, this is a sticky one. They say this is the sticky, you know, I say it's a sticky one. The Buffalo mayor said that, you know, they tried to make sure that every vehicle that they found had been abandoned and there was no one in the car. They really got hit. They really got hit. I actually read another article with 51.5 inches of snow. 51 inches of snow. That's a lot. That's a lot. Now, if you think that, you know, the average car got stuck in the snow, then what do you think happened to some of the other vehicles, the first responders' vehicles? Who's to say that they were just breezing through all of this snow? How do you know? How do you know how well, you know, they were able to get through the snow? So, and you're not the only one stranded. You know, they talked about many people being stranded and found dead in their cars. So, of course, they had, I'm sure they found some who were alive in the car. And they said that in Erie County, they say the ones that were found dead, they say include 17 people found outside, 7 others without heat, and 3 people found in their vehicles. So you can only imagine what chaos, you know, they were dealing with. Now, we know that, you know, they tend to get more snow, but this, they say, this was a whopper. So I don't know if, you know, it would be fair to say, you know, they didn't try hard enough or, you know, they didn't try at all. You know, this is kind of probably some emotions going on. And I'm not saying I wouldn't be upset either. But considering that you know the situation and many other people unfortunately lost their lives, you know, how many first responders do we really have? Let's be honest. We don't really have that many first responders. So think about it. If you have, okay, so here they said that the total deaths, 31 deaths, right? They say one was from an EMS delay, 17 were found outside, 3 were from shoveling or blowing and ended up with some type of cardiac demise. They say 7 people was from no heat and 3 people, again, were in their vehicle. So imagine, you listen, when you hear a blizzard is coming, you can't now just go picking people out and saying, okay, you're going to be the responders today. We need responders. You know, should they hire more? Maybe. But you can't now go and create responders. So I don't know if, you know, we want to say that they didn't do the best that they could. We can't say that. But what we do know is they were hit and hit hard. And we would like to think that this is their, this is what they do every day. Their profession. So are we less caring when a snowstorm hits? I would like to think that they're more vigilant when a snowstorm hits. You know, they tell us, they have told us for I've heard for over a decade, if you are an elder person or if you have heart conditions and things like that, don't be out there shoveling. Now, I know that, you know, sometimes we want to get out there and we want to get a little bit of it up and, you know, we want to kind of, you know, we ain't going to wait till it stops. We're going, but look at what happened. They say 3 deaths came just from that alone. So if, let's say for argument's sake, they got to those people and now they're trying to revive them or they're doing emergency, you know, treatment, wouldn't that delay you from getting some to someplace else? So, you know, we just have to keep these people in prayer because we don't want, you know, we don't want folk to be just kind of out there thinking that, you know, people don't care and they taking their time. All right. Well, we're also talking about this New York City husband and father of 3, ages 6, 9, and 11. They were all together in the dad's SUV or the family's SUV. And I'm having some difficulty here with my iPad for some reason. So give me a minute. Okay. They're saying that he had a 41-year-old wife, and she's now hospitalized in critical condition. Why? Because her husband got mad at her for some reason, or they got into some level of an argument, and he commenced to mowing her down with the three kids in the car. Now, again, they are you kidding me? I think 6, 9, and 11. And they were not, thank God, none of them, all three boys, they were not injured during the crash. But he was definitely taken into custody. They say that this took place like in the early morning hours, at like 5:15 in the morning. And they show footage of her coming out the building, and him, there was a car sitting on the side with its lights on, and they say less than a minute after she came out the building, the car took off and mowed her down. So they're saying that they're charging him with attempted murder, assault, endangering the welfare of a child, reckless endangerment, and weapon possession. Now, here we go again. Did we just get finished talking about if you cannot trust the man with the mother, can you trust him with the kid? Now, some might say, well, they were just in the car. But 6, 9, and 11, and last I checked, 6, 9, and 11, they are completely aware and alert as to what's going on. So they're sitting in the car with their father. So are you telling me that it was safe for them to be with him? That he cared so little about the children that he actually put them in the car so that they can watch mom being mowed over, and they said that the children witnessed everything. Now, 4:15 in the morning, the kids should have been in the bed. But you so twisted over whatever went down with mom, this is what you do in front of the kids. You take the kids on the mowing down of the mom. This really, really got put a seal on what we said yesterday, that once these parents are so hateful toward one another, the children are also in danger in some shape, form, or fashion. Now, come on now. Come on now. I know you may have wanted to side with, you know, this issue where, you know, oh no, you know, if they're okay. No, they're not. It's bad enough you did it, but now you're doing it with them in the car. So now at 6, at 9, and 11, this is what they see. How long is that going to be held in their memory? Why do you think he's being charged with endangering the welfare of a child? Because he endangered the welfare of a child, not only physically by having them in the car, because what would have happened had something happened to the car? You know, where the car was totaled or, you know, something like that. The kid's in the car. So, nah, you blew it. You blew it. You just really put a stamp on what we were talking about yesterday. So, try again, people, because now you ain't telling me nothing. All right, we got one more story. Now, we're talking about, as a matter of fact, let me see something. They just said, I just saw that they said, I'm sorry. Well, I can't get the whole story out because my iPad has its own brain this morning. But they're saying that something did happen to the car. They said that the car tipped over. So, there we go. All right. Okay, so let's get this last story out the way. We're talking this morning about all the career criminals who go on their spree, compliments of the bail reform, locking these people up properly, that now these repeat offenders are having a ball. So they say that this Roland Codrington, that's what we're going to say. So let's just call him Roland today, was arrested on Christmas Eve after allegedly killing James Cunningham within 20 seconds of bumping into him outside the bar, slashing the man's neck. They say he returned days later to the bar with a baseball bat and a pit bull and assaulted the female bartender because he felt disrespected. Then he allegedly stabbed two customers who stepped in to help her. Okay, well, thank God that they both survived. But Mr. Rowling allegedly killed a Bruce Henry in a park shortly after that. Now, you ain't killed enough. Kill a man on Christmas Eve because he bumped into you. Then you go back days later with a baseball bat and a pit bull and you attack the bartender, female. Now, he went back because he felt disrespected. Now, you went back with a pit bull and a baseball bat for a woman. The two people that tried to help her, and if that wasn't enough, he then kills someone in the park shortly thereafter. And this article is saying that, unsurprisingly, this Mr. Rowland has had a long criminal history. Now, this history includes a knife robbery and a knife assault in 2006 and 2009. Two assaults in 2012, criminal possession with a knife in 2013, two assaults with a weapon in 2017, assault with a weapon in 2021, and some vehicle-related arrests from 2022. And they say most recently he was released from jail in April of 21 after serving just 3 to 6 years for gun possession, which wasn't even the first time for that, okay? He even at one point had a warrant out for his arrest before his stabbing spree, and yet he somehow ended out on the streets free to stab and to kill someone else. And this is what our beautiful bail reform is doing. And they talk about one criminal in New York randomly punched a man and put him in a coma, but was let out with no bail despite being a registered sex offender on lifetime parole for a sexual assault. They say another man had been arrested 41 times and had a history of unprovoked assaults, but was still out on the street punching people in the face because he felt like it. And here is why it's not safe to walk the street. Where is my due time crew, because we need to get to talking about this stuff. Yeah. Let's say good morning to our girl, Tamika. Good morning, Tamika.
Good morning, Pastor Seth. How are you today?
Girl, how can I be? Question is, how are you? You're the one who's on the mend. And my prayer is that you're doing better today. How are you feeling?
I am doing better every day. I'm glad that you read the list of things, and you know, it's out here. I don't care what you think. You know, you might think that you're Superwoman or Superman to get away from it, but it's out there. And I tell everyone, please be cautious, because you can't always tell that somebody's sick that first day. You know, and you standing there talking to them, or, you know, you standing on the train or the bus, or, you know, you're susceptible. Don't think that you're not, you know, because it's very easy to get. And then once you get it, you know, it's quite something to try and go over. I've been kind of fighting this thing since Friday of last week. I am feeling better. I still have a couple of steps to climb. But thank God it's not as bad as it was. It hits you very quickly. It'll take you down before you know it. Very good, very good, very good. I'm glad that you're feeling better. Girl, as they say. We got some stuff to talk about. So yesterday, you and I and the other ladies were talking about, you know, do we really want to trust the husbands with the children, or the fathers with the children, once they have been proven to be unsafe with the mom? And it may have seemed like we were being a bit cruel yesterday, but lo and behold, look what ends up happening today. Now you've got the three children, 6, 9, and 11, in the car at 5-something in the morning. And the car, the SUV, is on its side after he tries to run the mother over with the children in the car. Does this prove our point or what, Lady Tamika? Yeah, I would say, you know, and just to make it even, you know, we have told the stories that, you know, it does happen with the mother, you know, not necessarily being safe.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
So, you know, just being clear, we're not, you know, we're not bashing. But, you know, in this instance, the story is what it is. And with that being the case, he kept going until there was literally no other option. You know, so if he could have found a way to drive it on the side, I honestly believe he would have continued. You know, the only reason why he stopped, you know, and what type of trauma is that? I'm willing to take me, both the children, and you down, you know, just to get at you, you know, and then to traumatize the children, you know, even if they didn't see that you were trying to attack their mother, you got them in the car. With all of this, you know, this is the thing that I'm saying, you know, people, that mentality that I'll do whatever just so that I can get at you, that's the extreme, you know, and it goes from when we talked about, you know, just kind of losing it, you know, that goes to the extreme, you know, to the point that I'm going to take me, the children, everybody, whatever it is that I can put in this car, you know, to get at you. So be it, you know, and suffer the consequence. You're not thinking. You're legitimately not thinking about any type of consequence, just getting at her. And, I mean, at 5 o'clock in the morning, what in the world? Did y'all start at midnight? How in the world at 5 o'clock in the morning does it get to this degree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Let's see what the rest of the G-Time crew has to say. Thank you so much for joining us today and pressing your way through your not feeling so hot. And we'll be back to continue our conversation. And let's say good morning to our brother Al. Good morning, brother Al.
Yeah, good morning. There's nothing to fear but fear itself. How you doing there this morning?
Good morning, brother Al. You got a quote this morning. All right now. Oh, Brother Al, I know you're happy. You got, you know, some time off from the cheering. So, you know, you can rest a little bit more. So I'm glad to have you with us this week. Yeah, Brother Al, we're talking about, you know, the man losing it, you know, and as, you know, Tamika said, we're not only talking about the men, because women lose it as well, but it seems to be more prevalent with the man. You know, he's losing it. And yesterday we were talking about, you know, the these arbitrators and people that, you know, make the decision as to whether the child is going to go back, you know, to the dad, and he's going to get visitation and things like that. And yesterday we talked about little Kyra, 2 years old, who the father shot and then shot himself. Now we have the dad who at 5-something in the morning goes to mow down mom and flips the whole car. Children in it. You know, what seems to be the problem here with these men?
Oh, man, I think these men, they get crazy. When the woman said, I don't want to be with you no more, for some men to sit back and you've been with this woman and now she don't want to be with you no more and she's serious about it. Like, she then got it to, well, okay, we just cool because of the kids. And men can't have that. Like, wow, she don't want me. She really don't want me no more. And she moving on with her life. Like, everything is cool. So he started conjuring up and letting that anger get him. So obviously he knew her schedule to know to be out there at 5 a.m. So obviously he knew her schedule. And then it's like, what did you do? Did you sit there waiting the kids up and say, hey, kids, come on. Y'all want to see something cool? Come on, watch me go around mom. Let's go get dressed. Anybody get dressed? Because, you know, even though he shouldn't have done that, if you did that, why did you blame the kids? It was 5:00 a.m. I'm probably sure the kids still would have been asleep. So now you didn't traumatize the kid because they sitting there watching you ram and turn their mother's truck over or car, whatever she was driving. Now you didn't ruin the kid, so you were selfish. You were so angry that you didn't even think about the well-being of the kid. What if you'd have ran that car, ran into that vehicle, and your vehicle blew up? You know, so you ain't thought none of that. All you thought was, I'm going to ram her and turn her car over, injure her, and she going to look up and see me and the kids in the car that we did it. No, we didn't do it. You did it. So it's just like insanity.
Hold on, Brother Al. So here's the deal. She came out the building. The video footage shows her walking out the building. She left the building after 5. And the video shows the car that the SUV that him and the children were in was sitting there with the lights on. So he was waiting for her. And when she got to a point, he mows her down in the vehicle, in the SUV. She's on foot. He's in the car in the SUV with the children.
Foot.
Yeah, she's on foot.
Okay.
He's in the SUV with the children, and whatever happened, the whole SUV flipped over. So, like you said, at that point, a car could have been on fire. Yeah, no, she was on foot. So he did mow her down.
Oh, I thought she was in the vehicle. I'm sorry.
Nope. She was on foot. And like you said, you know, come on, let's go. And he put the 3 children in the car, who they say witnessed everything. Well, I guess if you wake them up at 5:15 in the morning, they're quite awake at this point. And that's what he did.
Right.
She wasn't in the car. She was on foot.
Oh.
Him and the children were in the car.
Oh,
and the car ended up flipping.
Wow. Look, she must have some tough bones. She got hit and flipped the van, too. Flipped the car.
But thank God she wasn't killed.
Right, yes. So, you know, that's even worse for them to see you hit their mom, and then you're going to flip us over. You know, the kids said, hey, great job, Dad, now what? You know, like, it's crazy, man. And like I said, these men, you know, men, us as men, and that happens as far as you get crazy when there's a breakup, because I think it's hard for men to look and say, well, wow, she really truly don't want me no more. She's moving on. She's moving on. She really, and you think I'm going to let her just move on and go on with life like that? Nah, that ain't happening. I think that stuff really clicks in and some Americans. I've seen that. I've heard friends say that, like, oh, she don't want Beaver no more. She thinks she's just gonna live. I'm gonna make her life miserable. They didn't go to that extreme of trying to kill her. But I'm like, bro, she moved on. You need to move on. I had a friend that did that. Yeah. Oh, you know, he was just like, oh, she thinks she's going to just live. I mean, he got to the point where he was out. Because we used to mess with him, tell him he was playing spy hunt. You know, she would go out. He hiding in the bushes watching her. You know, he didn't physically do nothing to her. But he was following her and watching her. I'm like, yo, I'm calling the cops. You do something stupid, I'm calling Popo. But yeah. I think that clicks in men's mind like, okay, man, she moved on. She really moved on, for real? She don't need me no more? Nah. You think she going to be happy? That ain't happening. So that clicks in these men's minds.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Brother Al. We'll be back to talk about some other things. Let's say good morning to Pastor Charlotte. Good morning, Pastor Charlotte.
Good morning. How are you today?
I am well, thank you. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. Listening to y'all.
Goodness, I just heard Pastor Kale said, I'm okay.
I know, I have too.
All right, Pastor Charlotte. You know, yesterday we had this conversation about, you know, the men, you know, not being able to be trusted with the children, you know, where this, you know, arbitrator or whatever he was, you know, he sided with the father who said, you know, hey, you know, I think that, you know, dads are important in a child's life. And that dad shot the 2-year-old and then shot himself. This morning, our story is, now you trying to run mom over with the 3 kids in the car, being participants, if you will, you know, being observers, if you will. And, you know, what is it about, you know, this that is just so twisted in your opinion?
Well, like I said, I was listening because it had me flashback to when my first husband was trying to run me down. So I know this light's coming at you in the darkness. I thought of where that, when everyone was talking about the children being in the car, when he is abusive, sometimes that he's going, and these are all boys, am I correct? 6, 9, 11?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Let me teach you when she talked back to you. That was my first thought, that they teach their children, because the kids are scared, the mama is scared. This isn't nothing new. So you know that they had some situations from before he escalated to this part of just running you down, right? So I thought of that, like everybody said, why would you bring the kids? But was it that you was showing them or calling yourself teaching them something? And where that a woman don't talk back to you because maybe she said something in front of him and he wants to feel like the man that he thinks that he is, which he's not. So that was where my thought went, because I thought, like I said, I thought about when you come out the building and all you see is these bright lights coming at you, right? So she had to run in between something for him to hit. So he probably hit a car to make him stop, go to the side. My situation, he didn't run me down, but he pinned me up against a wall.
Wow.
So
wow.
It made me think
of
that, of the mindset of how he was. Are you brought the kids to teach them something, not to hurt them, but to teach them something? Or was your intentions where you was taking everybody out? So it can go either way. So it made me think of that in my own story.
That's a thought, yeah. And it's funny because that's something that kind of came to my mind, and I'm coming back to that. I'm definitely coming back to that. Thank you for joining us, Pastor Charlene. Let's speak to Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. Something just popped up on my screen, kind of distracted me a minute. But I'm well, thanks. You're doing well over there in Alabama. What's the weather like today?
Today is 25. Not too bad. Just 25. Okay. I would like to say before we start that I'm so glad that Tamika's feeling a lot better. I called her sometime last week. I said hello, and she said hello. And I was like, can I speak to Tamika, please? And she said, this is Tamika. I said, no, I'm looking for Tamika Evans-Jones. I don't know who this is, but that's who I'm looking for. But her voice was deeper than mine. And I said, are you okay? She said, I'm still sexy. And I said, I don't know.
You know
okay,
what?
I'm glad she's feeling a lot better.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, we're happy she's feeling better also, Pastor KL.
Yes.
Staying away from this, what Pastor Charlene just talked about, you know, I want to ask a question. How do we get to the point where we hate the mother or the father so much till now we're targeting the children? Now the children become targets. Yesterday's story, he shot little 2-year-old Kyra, then killed himself. Now today we have, you know, you didn't kill the children per se, but now they've got all kind of mental trauma because they don't remember that you tried to run their mama over. How do we get this far, man or woman, Pastor Kale?
Well, a lot of times, you know, when they realize that, or either side, that it's no longer, you know, that it's time to go, there is a hurt deeper than you can actually talk about. So now they want you to feel the same amount of hurt. I can't leave you because you've already left me. So I'm in this stage. But now if I do something to the closest thing to you, which is your children, then you feel the hurt that I feel. No, I'm sorry. You feel worse than I feel because remember, you don't want to be with me no more. So your feelings for me is nothing. So now I hit you back with your children, which makes you, we're not even even. Now I've won.
And, you know, many men and women have said that, but especially men have said that, you know, well, I wanted to see her hurt. I wanted to see her in pain, and I know if doing something to her, to the kids, that means that it would hurt her. And really, so you planned on killing. Now let's shift this thing a little bit. You planned on killing that woman. Now you killed her with the children in the car. Who have you hurt?
Well, you hurt the children on multiple levels. One, because now emotionally and psychologically I've seen this. So I've lost my mother. Now, the second is, now you're going to jail, so I've lost my father. So I'm scarred as a child on multiple levels. I have no one as parental guidance. You know, and then I've seen my father, who I love, kill my mother, who I love.
Absolutely. So at the end of the day, you didn't hurt the mother more than you hurt the children. And
right.
Now you're going to jail for quite a long time.
Right.
For quite a long time. And again, looking at... Absolutely. Absolutely. You ain't got to worry about nobody leaving you no time soon.
Right.
You know, it's sad because they literally show this SUV on the side, on its side. Thank you so much for joining us, Pastor KL. We're going to talk to Shy Peace and see what she's got to say about all of this before I ask another question. Good morning, Shy Peace.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Fine, thank you.
All right. All right, so we've got this crazy, you know, we talked about this yesterday, about how you want to hurt, you know, the mm-hmm. mom also. What are we talking about here today when you didn't sat and you did something different? You took the children, you know, to the killing escapade.
I said yesterday that it seems like the fathers are doing it more for whatever reason. Only to now hear this morning that you intentionally, and that's one of the words we're focusing on, you know, in our prayer group, you intentionally woke your kids up so they could see you do something. Like, it would have been bad had you woke them up to listen to y'all argue. But you woke them up to put them in the car so they could watch you do this. Are you trying to teach them how to do this to someone else? Like, this is how you get back at people who get on your nerves. Like, huh? Now we do tutorials on the killing. This is just like, there's no word for this. This is like beyond retarded remedial. We now show the killing. So it's going from the indirect teaching to the direct teaching of this is how daddy is teaching you how to handle people you don't like. And it's their mother. Six.
I agree quite a bit with that. You know, when Pastor Charlotte was talking, I remember years ago, this has got to be like 30-some-odd years ago, there was a gentleman that I knew, a friend that I had, and he had three boys. And they were around these ages, actually. And he was experiencing a lot of stuff with mom and how she was abusing him. And I told him, I said, you are teaching your son some things here. And one of the things mm-hmm. I talked to him about was you're teaching your son how to receive and accept abuse and mm-hmm. not to stand up for themselves. You know, when your children are watching you be abused, you're working hard, you're the breadwinner, she's working as well, but you're the breadwinner, you're paying the bills, you're doing this, you're doing that, and you are openly abusing him, and he was accepting it, and the kids were right there watching it. Brother mm-hmm. Al, what are we talking about? You know, and let's stay here, because I don't want you to move, you know, too far. What are we teaching our sons? You men, what do you feel you're teaching your sons when you openly get abused and you just take it? That's all they see is that you accept and receive the abuse. What are you saying to your son? What are you teaching them?
And you're teaching them to be a weak man. You know, you're teaching them that, you know what, this right here is okay. The woman runs the thing. This is what's supposed to happen. You sit back, be quiet, because if you say something, you're going to get hit, and you let the woman take care of everything. So you're taking away the first line of defense from your son of being the protector and being the man. You know, you just show him, hey, this is all right. This is how it goes right here, son. You listen and you shut up, or you're going to get hit. So I believe that's what you're teaching them.
All righty, all righty. Pastor Charlotte, you know, you just got finished talking about the fact that, you know, you were abused by your husband. I'm sure that there was some physical or emotional or mental abuse taking place right in front of the children at some point. You know, at the end of the day, what are you teaching your girls?
when you allow them to watch this openly? How do you go back and even talk to them? What do you tell them? Ultimately, teaching them is the initial question.
Yes, you are teaching them that it's okay for a man to put his hands on you. You're letting them, and on the mix of that, you got to remember when they finish or even during that time, they saying that they love you. So they thinking that it's going to be, that's what love is about. You're putting your hands on my mother. I saw my mother. She still stayed there. She still fed you. She still, you know, will allow you to hug and kiss on her. So I'm teaching them that it's okay that you're able to do that, and that's showing that they love you.
Mm.
And that's, yeah, it becomes
wow.
very emotional with them, because if you, and then if they can get someone and that's not doing that, and so they feel that that person does not love them because they're not being beat.
Wow, wow, wow. Pastor KL, you know, what are you showing your sons when you take open abuse? Can you really teach them the opposite if that's what they're watching?
Not at all. It's very, very difficult, because what happens is that you begin to make excuses for the other parent. You know, they're just going through, you know, they had a hard day at work, but he really loves us. She really loves us, you know, and when we make excuses, we tolerate stuff, and the child doesn't understand the difference, you know. So like Pastor Charlotte said, you know, they feel, listen, if I'm not getting beat like my mama was getting beat, or if I'm not being treated like my dad was getting treated, you don't really love me. I need to go find somebody who knows how to be a man. A man is supposed to beat his woman. He's supposed to be a caveman, you know. You want to be nice to me. That's why, you know, certain women, you know, like what we called back in the days the roughnecks or the bad boys, because they had to have a certain image. And this was the image that sometimes their mother portrayed, or that was who their daddy was. So sometimes we go after people, or go after, you know, the ones who remind us of our father figures or of our mother figures. You know, a lot of women, you know, can't deal with their husband because they find out their husband is a mama's boy, too clingy to the mama. So you know, certain things we don't like, but we cling to this because this is all that we know.
Mm. All right now. Shatice, what say you?
Repeat the question again, please, because I was so into it.
Well, Pastor KL, that's a good thing. You know, we're raising children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the initial scenario was I had a friend who was raising three boys. They were about the same age, actually, of these three boys. And I said to him, I said, the mother is treating you like garbage openly.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think you're teaching your sons as they watch this? What are you going to say to them later?
Mm-hmm.
What are we teaching our, and you know, for women, the girls, you know, when they watch, you know, the men abuse their mothers, you know, and you stay and you tolerate it and you take it and you don't make a move, what are you ultimately teaching your daughters?
Mm-hmm. You're teaching them a lot that you may not even understand what you're teaching, because the bad thing about something like this is you don't know which way they're going to come out, because there's no in between. There's either you're going to come out so sensitive and in a shell and clingy and soft, or you're going to come out aggressive, nasty, bitter, with a whole bunch of rage and anger. So you can't even sit and try to dictate, okay, well, I know my kids are sitting watching this. This is how I'm dealing with this, or this is how they're going to come out. No.
you have no idea. They have no idea. And a lot of times the kids don't realize how much they're picking up on or putting our thoughts to manifest through their behavior, through their words, through the way they react, the way they respond. So it's really scary because a lot of people, they really think that they can put, you know, oh, okay, this is what's going to happen. You have no idea. And then a lot of the time, you're now showing them that this is what you're willing to tolerate, and now they resent you for it, and now they treat you like that because it's like, why are you sitting taking this? Well, since you allow so-and-so to do it, I might as well do it too. And a lot of parents don't understand how the kids feel, you know, about watching them willingly. Like, the kids understand. It gets to a point where the kids understand that this is a choice you're making. You don't have to deal with this. You don't have to endure the things that people are doing to you. This is a choice that you're making. Well, since you're making this choice, then what's the difference in someone else treating you like this versus me treating you like this? But then now you'll be quick to say something to me. Now it just becomes this whole big thing that the parents are not prepared for simply because you're allowing them to watch you go through this.
Absolutely, absolutely. Oh, Tamika, what's your take? You know, what are you teaching your girls?
You teach them, they become desensitized by trauma, by harm, and you'll always hear me advocate for the child. And I'll give you an example. I have a relative who, one of my aunts went through some moments of abuse. For a time, we didn't know anything about it. And I remember going there for the summer, you know, and you could literally hear the lick. You know, you didn't know who was hitting who, but you knew somebody. You know what a smack sounds like, you know. And I remember my female cousin crying, you know, and I was going to get up and try and handle things, and she just shook her head, and she just began to, you know, let the tears fall. You know, and as we were talking, I was just thinking about her life now. You know, I remember her dating period. She went through some trauma in relationships, you know, with abuse, you know. And I remember, you know, she's married now and an adult with children of her own. But I remember the gentleman that she was dating, the one who really, really loved her. She treated, I mean, when I say treated him, bad is not even it. You know, she treated him horribly, you know, and he loved her through that, you know, and she would do things deliberately to hurt his feelings. He continued to love her through that, you know, and he went through some real abuse because of her abuse, you know, and they finally got married, you know, and, you know, had children of their own, but he went through decades of trauma based simply because of the trauma that she viewed, you know. And unfortunately, what ends up happening in a lot of lives without Christ, you know, it can get really volatile. You got generations, not just one, you know, decades of generations that haven't healed because of the trauma that happened prior to. You know, this can happen over and over and over, you know, and so You gotta get away from that type of lifestyle. You know, whatever it is that you need, you know, therapy, outreach, find a way to get away from it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's what ended up happening when I spoke to this gentleman decades later. A couple of decades later, I talked, and by this time, the sons were adults, and I was like, so how do you know, how so-and-so? You know, the oldest one, and he was like, oh, well, you know, he's in a broken marriage. And I said, well, why? And he said, well, you know, he went through this whole thing. You know, the women walking all over him, and, you know, they're going through hell. And I'm like, wow, really? Again, I go back to, hey, you know, this is what you were teaching him when he was a kid. I asked him about the second son. His son couldn't even see his kids. Why? Because the relationship that he had with the girl was so out of control that now she was holding the kids away from him. And I said, this is exactly what we talked about years ago, unfortunately. You know, so like you all have said, you know, this is definitely a pattern that's going to follow these children. Now, Tamika brought up something that was on my radar. As Christian individuals, this is even more important for us to teach our children how to be treated, what not to be a part of, what not to stay in. Why, Pastor Charlene, why is it so important that, you know, we talk about we're living a Christ-filled life, why this is even more important to teach our children not to accept this behavior?
Well, first of all, it's not of the Lord. He doesn't want nobody to be beaten on nobody, to be nasty to nobody or any of that. A lot of times, though, which is sad, is that for face value, that a lot of people within the church is being abused, but they have face value. You know, they don't show that abuse because abuse comes in different shapes and forms, right? So how can we allow a person to overpower us, you know, and we're confessing and trusting in God to take care of us and being able to fill us with the Holy Spirit of the spiritual discernment, and you are still staying there. You know, one of the problems, I've had a lady to come, and I felt that she was being abused. And her and her husband had came, and they was talking to me. And I asked him, did he put his hands on her? Because they were walking around the question. And of course, you know, the abuser always going to say no, right? But I have always watched, when you ask the man the question, look at the wife. Look at the wife. Her face, her body language will give you the answer of what it is, right? So when I asked her, his face was more like, you better not say nothing, right? So I knew that was going to happen, of putting them together. So he was very leery because of the fact that I just came right out and asked the question. So I had said to her, I always give my story of how I did face value for a while myself, and how it affected my children. I didn't know how much it did until they got grown to talk about it. Because a lot of times you think that they don't see, but other people around you see. When I went to the church and I was talking to the pastor at the time, because I was still with my husband, and I was talking to him. And one of the things is that's so sad, we don't have a place for the people to go. I still got to go back home to him. So how can you help me? I still got to take my children because he's the breadwinner. How do you help me? So I leaned independent on the Lord. I kept calling on God. I told him that I didn't want to be with him no more. I told him, and he did the same thing. You don't want to be with me? You're not going to be with nobody else. But I trust God. I trust God. I kept calling on God and asking God to show me what to do, where to go, who to talk to. And that's how I was able to come out. So you have to be able to know silence is not good. You have to be able to find someone to talk to them about. And that's what helps us in the ministry. We have to have a safe place for the people to be able to come and say, I need your help. And this is what's happening to me.
All righty. Thank you for that testimony this morning. Pastor KL, you know, what are we talking about in this Christian walk? you know, what are we showing our children? What are we showing, you know, them as far as, you know, who God is and what God wants from you and what God wants you to tolerate and, you know, what that's a different, there's a different spin on it now. Don't talk to the mute button. Talk to us.
Hey, I'm here. I'm sorry. Well, listen, this is what I was saying. You know, short and sweet. The Bible says train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're older, they would not depart. But part of training is setting an example. It's not just telling people what to do. And, you know, you have to set an example. The children look at you and watch your lead. You know, that's part of training. If you want the training to go well in any job, you have to show them how to do things and how it operates and how it works. And then you have to express and explain why we do it like this. You know, why does God want this type of order in your house? You have to train properly. You can't just give somebody some books and say, go read it for yourself. That's not training. You know, in the Christian walk, we have to set an example. That's why people continue to come to church or don't come to church, because of the example that some of us are setting. There is no training. You know, if you want your children, whether you're in an abusive relationship or not, if you want your children to live a good life or to carry on and be successful or have a good relationship, there has to be some type of training, some type of example that they're looking into.
Oh, I like that. Oh, Lady Tamika, you know, what are we talking about when we're focusing on now the Christian home? You know, we're setting a bigger example here. In what way?
And that's a really rough one, because how do you exhibit the attributes of God? You think about relationships, especially when we're talking about marriage. The closest thing to God's allegiance to man is husband's allegiance to wife and vice versa. But how do I teach that I love you when I'm punching you in the face? You know, how do I teach that I'm there for you, that I support you, when all you see is abuse? It's quite difficult, because then how do you minister to a heart who all they, you know, throughout the night hours, you're hearing licks? You know, that's a very fine line. It's very difficult to minister to. And then there's that level of healing that has to go, not just through me, but, you know, if you have heard that, especially as an adult or young adult, you know, and then you've got children, because realize these adults now are getting children very early, you know. So I'm in my 20s with a child, and I'm living in a home with a mother who's being abused or a father who's being abused. You know, that's a very difficult area, because who do I go to now? You know, and because of the way that the church is set up, you know, I can't go to the pastors for help. You know, I got to go to this training and this type of session and this type of, you know, everything else is outside of the church. And so there definitely needs to be a healing, and it has to start with us.
Absolutely, absolutely. Oh, Brother Al, what are we talking about here? You know, the Christian household is, you know, a little different, because now we're supposed to be representing Jesus as well.
Yeah, and again, I was reading something the other day about being married and with your family, and the enemy is coming. You know, the enemy don't want that. The enemy not trying to have you be happy. So you have to pray and fight for your family. It's a war against the enemy to keep your family intact, to keep him out of your family. So you have to show that to show the kids, because, again, the kids are like sponges. They're sitting there and they're soaking in everything that's happening. So whether you got mom beating dad or dad beating mom, these kids looking at it like, okay, well, that's how it's supposed to be. Okay, cool. Now I know what to do. Now I know how to raise my family. If my wife don't say that, I know to slap across her mouth when she don't do what I tell her to do. So in the Christian household, we got to understand the power of prayer. man, okay, we got to pray. I got to fight for my family. I'm not going to let the enemy have my family. And even if that's going on and the child see you fighting, seeing you praying, again, they're like sponges. They're saying, okay, wow, if there's something that happens in my relationship, I know I got to take it to God and I got to fight for my family. So, like you said, it is a little different than a household who don't have God in their household because the enemy is just running rapid. But now you got this power, you got this weapon of prayer to help get your family in order, to get that mean old enemy out of there. So, yeah, that's what I think on that.
All righty. You know, I always do this from time to time. Let's talk to our listeners. And, you know, we've talked about a couple of things here today. And you have, you know, we've talked about this and we've done this before, but we don't know who's listening today. You know, somebody's listening to us today who's never listened to us before. And they may be listening to episodes that have nothing to do with this, but they need us today. You know, what are we saying to them? You know, what are you leaving your listener with, Tamika?
I would say don't stay isolated. You know, reach out. Find some way, some venue. You know, there, especially with the internet now, there are different ways to get things done, to find a way away. You know, that's a very, very difficult thing. And you don't want to raise children in that type of environment because you don't realize the residual effects of what transpires. So find a way, reach out for help, get yourself out of an environment that's destructive to not only yourself, your livelihood, but your children as well.
Thank you. Amen. Brother Al, you know, what are we saying to our listeners? Talk to them. Somebody needs to hear what you got to say today.
I would say to the listeners, anybody who may be going through this, stop making excuses. Stop saying it's your fault that this is happening. You know, hey, she came home from work or he came home from work and I know he was tired and I asked the question. I shouldn't have asked the question. Stop making excuses and go out and get some help because it's not going to stop. It's going to continue. And if you have children, you're going to have another generation that's coming up doing the same thing. So definitely seek help and talk to someone, you know, someone professionally. Tell somebody and get some help on that to stop that cycle right then and there.
All right, amen. Thank you. Pastor Charlene, what are we saying?
Absolutely. Agreeing with all what was said. But if you don't think about yourself, think about your children and how they will be, do their families and how it will go from generation to generation. I will want you to find some help and seek for your children, even if you think that they didn't have a problem or whatever, let them be able to talk to someone as well. There are some places that you can go to that you can make a phone call and they will tell you exactly what to do. And I will share that with you, Pastor Steph, of a number that I have received and where that you're able to call and they will be able to tell you when to go, when not to go, because it's a timing that you have to do things as well. So please be careful. Don't stay in it for the money. Believe me, God will make a way. You know, he will make sure that you will be fed, your children will be fed, and I want you to be able to stand up and just say no more and just be able to do it. If not for yourself, please do it for your children.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Charlene. I'll get that information from you. Pastor KL, what are we telling our listeners today?
Thanks, sir. Yeah, what I would say today is that love don't hurt that bad. It really, really doesn't. So if you find yourself more hurting than feeling loved, then you have a situation. And you need to evaluate that. You know, a lot of people want to stay in for the children. Well, if you love your children, get out for the children. you know, because you're not doing your children a justice by staying. You know, if the family's already broken, then the children's already broken. It's time to fix the children. And sometimes the only way to fix the children is to get out of that situation. Again, how are we training? Are we just giving them the book and say, do the fractions, and we don't know how to put it together? All they see is brokenness. This is the fraction of their life. They see half of the pie or a quarter of the pie. They never see the whole pie. Again, love does not hurt that bad. If you find yourself hurting, it's time to go. Because if you're hurting, they're hurting. And since they're hurting, you definitely want to come out of that. Because we don't want them to hurt.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so very much, my deep time crew. And you have definitely served us well today. And we pray you have a blessed day. Thank you.
You as well.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You too, enjoy.
Alrighty. Thank you. All right, so I actually have two numbers. I, you know, being that we are, we have listened from all over the nation, I want to give this information here. 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 7233. 800-799-7233. If you are going through any domestic abuse or violence and you need to get out, make sure, you know, you reach out. Interestingly enough, they have a security alert. When I pulled up for the information for domestic violence in a hotline, and they're alerting you that internet usage can be monitored. And, you know, it's very difficult to erase your history completely. And if you remember not that long ago, Google took a stand to help erase your history on its own. So they put in a feature that, you know, erased certain search engines that you looked up. Well, you're not search engines, but certain things you looked up in your search engine. That's the way I want to say it. And they automatically said they were going to start deleting it for the safety of the individual who was actually looking up. Because if you have a husband or a wife, you know, but especially a husband who's now targeting, you know, what you're doing on the internet, and you haven't erased all of your history, now this could also mean some real danger for you. Because again, you know, unfortunately, most times the biggest offenses of domestic violence and killings happen when you are leaving, right after you've left. And, you know, if we can help, you know, get rid of this history on the computer, then that definitely helps. So they have like extra keys that you press on these websites that will alert them that you may not be alone, will alert them that you need to get rid of this information a little quicker than other times. So, you know, they're coming up with more things to make this secure for you to get out. Pastor Charlene just sent me some information that's more local, and WARM is the name of the organization. We All Really Matter, and the address is 8 West 126th Street, and that's in New York City. The number is 917-736-0680, and you can reach out to a Stephanie McGraw. Again, I'm going to read that. WARM, We All Really Matter, 8 West 126th Street in New York City, 917-736-0680, and reach out to Stephanie McGraw, McGraw. Thank you very much, Pastor Charlotte, for that information. If any of you know any other pieces of information that we can, you know, give out to our listeners, I say get out. You know, I tell, because this is what I do. My videos really target this little piece of information because that's what they say is, you know, when you look up, that's what happens a lot of times. Get out. And when you get out, do not go back for anything. I don't care about a dollar. I don't care about what you feel is security. Get out. Don't meet him. We've done stories, or her. We've done stories of people who have gotten out of these domestic situations, and he wants to meet or she wants to meet, and it became deadly. Get out and don't turn back. Trust God. Pastor Charlene has said it. I'm telling you from another another person has gone through this domestic violence, domestic abuse. Don't look back. Don't look back. Keep going and trust God. I know it sounds like, you know, people always say, oh, you know, it sounds so easy. Listen, I don't want to hit none of that. I know it's not easy. Pastor Charlotte knows it's not easy. Anyone who has been in a situation like this knows it's not easy. We're not saying it's easy. We know how hard it is, and that's why we keep saying get out, run. Don't look back, because a lot of times, they have coerced us, you know, victims. And so, you know, just meet us. We did the story of the man who met the girl in the restaurant. And right there, he shot her in the head. And she thought that because, you know, it was a populated place, it would be safe. I've heard so many people say that on TV, movies, in real life. Well, you know, I'm not going to be nowhere secluded. And they think that that's okay. It's not okay. It is not safe. They have proven that they are psychotic. They are violent. It doesn't matter the environment. Get going. God has an escape plan for you. You're talking to two women who are speaking from experience. Get out. Get out. I don't care what he says. I don't care what she says. Leave. We are doing too many stories of people who, you know, they were just waiting for the right time, per se. And, you know, a lot of times that right time has passed you by. Another thing before we move on, please do not stay quiet. Open up your mouth. One of the ladies said it here today. This ain't no time to be quiet. This ain't no time to be private. Talk. Tell somebody. God has someone that you can speak to. Somebody you know you can speak to. Go and tell someone, and they will begin to help you. God has got a plan for you. You know, we are not here to be anyone's punching bag. I don't care what they say in church. Stick it out. I'm telling you, don't. Pastor Charlene is telling you, don't. People are crazy, and there is nothing you can do about it. You cannot help them. You cannot change them. You can't, you know, change yourself to make yourself better. You know, a lot of times that seems to be, you know, the thought process. You know, it seems to be, well, you know, if I change, maybe he or she won't treat me this way. If I dress differently, or if I cook a better dinner, or if I suck him or her better, or whatever the situation, I can't even tell you how many stories I've heard. I can't even tell you how I felt personally. You know, when you think that, you know, you're going to make the difference. Separate. For those of you who are married, listen, separate. God gets no glory out of you being somebody's punching bag. How can you serve God properly when you are being abused mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually? There's no love there, and God does not want us to be in that relationship. Get out. Separate. Now, does it mean that, you know, there won't be a reconciliation? We can't say what God will do with that abusive individual. We can't say what God will do with you, because you need some therapy to be able to move forward. You can't just pick up and now you're just moving on and ain't nobody saying nothing. You're going to act like this thing never happened, because you're going to look down the road years later and you don't have a decent relationship, because every time he say something to you, you over in the corner, or you ready to pick up a bat, or you ready to pick up a gun. Like Shanti said, it's going to be one or the other. There's no middle ground here. You're either going to be passive and you're going to stay the abused individual, or you're going to become a hellion. You're going to become someone so aggressive, you're not going to be able to have a relationship that is going to benefit anybody. You, children, him, her, it's not going to matter. You're not going to be any good to anybody. So, listen, like I said, you're not talking to people who don't know what they're talking about. You're talking about people who have gone through this thing. Pastor Sharlin did a segment with us in our series, in our domestic violence series, where she told her story. Domestic violence series we did about in the 2 years, we did maybe 8, if not more. And we had testimonies from pastors who have said that they were there, women, and we had a man who talked about his abusive partner and how, you know, the second leg of this domestic violence series, we talked about how the church failed their people. So unfortunately, you know, those who are in the church, they're not, you know, always equipped to advise you properly. We were in a forum and this woman asked a question. And when I tell you the men in this group, how they were answering her, and they were like, well, you know, the Bible says, you know, you can't leave, or, you know, you can't divorce. And I listened to this for the longest time. I did. And then, and mind you, this is post the domestic violence series. So not only am I going with what I've heard or seen, I'm going with testimony of people who have gone to the church and the church have failed them miserably because they answered them like these men were answering at this time to this woman who had this question. And I was like, you have got to be kidding me. This woman has asked a bona fide question for her safety and even the safety of the man who was abusing her, because she was kind of asking the question of, what do I do? At one point, her question was, well, what do I do? How do I handle it? Now, if this woman had considered shooting him, killing him, smothering him, poisoning his food or whatever, retaliating in a very unhealthy manner, then y'all sitting there telling her, well, the Bible says we can't divorce, is irrelevant at this point. She ready to kill him possibly. Couldn't believe that she got nothing. The only female voice in the room. I don't have to tell y'all where I went with that, because, you know how Pastor Steph does. But it was horrible. It was horrible to sit back and listen to how these people, these men in the church, and I've said this to you before, one of the women literally said, she said when she went and told a male in the church, he told her that if she was murdered by her husband, domestic violence capacity, that God be okay because she would have been doing her wifely duty and serving the Lord properly. So had she turned up dead, this is what the information is that she would have gotten that encouraged her to stay there. Oh my God. And I'm not calling on the Lord's name in vain. I'm calling on God to help us in the church to be able better guidance. That's not sound counsel. Stay in my home and be murdered because God would be okay because I would be doing my wife's duty. You have lost your ever-loving mind. Go somewhere and seek safety for you and your children, as well as pray that he gets some help. If he's supposed to be a Christian man, he'll get some help because he's not going to want his family or that marriage to be destroyed. But for your own safety, and as we have clearly seen, safety for our children, leave. I don't care who, the pastor, the bishop, the apostle, reverend, I don't care who he or she is. If they tell you to stay, know that that's not the Lord speaking to you. No, no. You have been left here so that God can get the glory out of your life. When you stay in unsafe conditions, that's like saying, I'm going to turn on the gas in my house and I'm going to sit here. I'm going to turn off the alarm so nobody else knows that, you know, this gas is escaping. And I'm going to just sit here and wait to die. That is equivalent to that. That's equivalent to that level of unsafe conditions. The house is now burning down. The alarms are going off. The smoke detectors are going off like crazy, but I'm going to sit in the living room, and I'm going to wait until the fire department gets here. I'll be all right till they, you know, they get here. I got to protect my belongings. I got to protect the house. That's the level of safety you're talking about when you stay in an abusive relationship. And I'm not just talking about a violent one. I'm talking about an abusive relationship because I'm going to tell you something personally. And I'm sure Pastor Charlene can attest to this. Those scars that we got while we were being violently abused are gone. But mentally and emotionally, that stuff does not leave you. If you know at some point is abusing you, leave. God's going to have a serious conversation. Not sit there talking about, well, you know, God wants me to stay. No, God does. How could you serve God? Serve God if you're scared to move, if you're scared to go to work, if you're scared to go to the grocery store, if you're scared to go to sleep at night. How can you properly serve God? And that's what we are here for. We are here to disciple. We are here to give God glory out of our life. None of this stuff can take place as long as you are in an abusive situation where it is eating you alive. God will understand because God is going to be your only true out. Know that. It is he who will guide you and lead you to safety. Do not. For you and or your children. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, because it will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for always coming through big time. Thank you for hanging out with us and helping us do what we do. Please do not miss this opportunity to give your life to Christ right now or strengthen that relationship with the Lord right now, because at the end of the day, we may not reach that end of the day. Later is not promised to any of us. Until tomorrow, where we are in our freestyle Friday mode, God says, I love you.